But take your Bible, turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read all the way through the chapter. And we're going to look primarily toward the last last three verses. But in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. They four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of the great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. There was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray that you'd help us to understand some things about this passage of Scripture. And Lord, in this short time that we have, I pray you'd help me to say something that would honor and glorify you and be a blessing to your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, this whole chapter, this is Ezekiel. This is the beginning of the book of Ezekiel. And it's always an amazing thing when you read the description of these creatures that in chapter 10, they're going to be identified as being cherubims. All right, you remember Isaiah had a vision of the glory of the Lord, and the Lord lifted up, and those that were around him were the seraphims. And Ezekiel sees the cherubims, and the picture of the cherubims being a type of angel around the throne of God. When you go and you look at the all the way through the Bible, the angels that are on the mercy seat, that overshadow the mercy seat, are called cherubims. They're told in the cherubims. In several places in the book of Isaiah and several places in the book of Psalms, I know at least one place in the book of Isaiah, I should say, in several places in the book of Psalms and other places in the Bible, God is called thou that dwellest between the cherubims. So these angels here, these living creatures, are angelic beings. They are cherubims. They'll be described in detail in chapter 10. And if you want to take the time and read between them, we find out something. But they're living creatures. And we see them, we see pictures of these creatures again, these living creatures again in the book of Revelation. So as you read through there, you find different things about these creatures and different things about them. And then we find out something about, when you read Ezekiel chapter 28, when God is obviously speaking not to a man, but to an angelic being, one of the angelic hosts that has been in the Garden of Eden, all right, and was there, and the day that he was called, the anointed cherub that covereth was one of the terms there. So the Bible at least implies, if not outright states, that Satan was a cherubim and one of the cherubims. And it's kind of an interesting when you look at the word cherubims. He said of Satan, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Singular. But it's interesting how he says the word cherubim. Now cherubim in itself is plural. But it's cherubims. It's like a double plural there. So he saw the cherubims. So a cherubim is a being that is created that is kind of an interesting thing. It's got four faces, right? And so when we look at the cherubims and we look at the things that are talked about them and the wheels and the different things that are there, it's hard for us to get a picture of what he's describing. It's very difficult. There have been some that have tried to draw it. They haven't done a very good job of it. What's being described here is something that it's very difficult for us to grasp what's being there, because these beings are such beings that they're unlike anything that has ever been seen on the earth. And man grasps at everything to try to describe these. Some people have tried to make them UFOs and everything like that. And they're aliens coming down. Ezekiel saw aliens, and you'll see a bunch of UFO conspiracy theorists. But these are angelic beings. And he's seeing a glory, a vision of the glory of the Lord. He is actually seeing into heaven and seeing the throne of God. He's seeing something that many people have not seen. And I want you to see that clearly, and I want you to see this is before the incarnation of Christ, is it not? And yet Christ has appeared in several places, what we call theophanies, what the theological terms call theophanies. The man that was there before Joshua when they came in to battle, and he told Joshua to put off his shoes off his feet because he was standing on holy ground, just as the Lord did in the bush with Moses. You remember that? And so we look at that. There's a lot of different pictures there, but we see something here. We see, it says, the brightness of the Lord, he said, and above the firmament that was over their heads, verse 26, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Now this is an interesting thing that we see here. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. God is not a man, but he's seeing on this throne the appearance of a man. Now, people have tried to figure things out. They've tried to see things, and God is giving them, what this is God is giving them a preview of what's to come. God is infinite. God is bigger than his creation. We look over there, he's from everlasting to everlasting. He's bigger than time. If we go up to the stars of heaven, he's there. If we go down to hell, he's there. In him we live and move and have our being, as it says in the book of Acts. And the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Right? It says the Father seeketh such to worship him. But there's a picture here there's a foreshadowing here of what we will see one day. And likewise, Isaiah saw this, and Daniel saw this, and they saw that foreshadowing of all upon that throne there would be the likeness of a man. And that is a foreshadowing of Christ's glorification, of the Word of God being made flesh and being brought up. And that's what we're seeing here. And so there's no reason to be confused about it. And a lot of people have gotten confused. And a lot of people have said, see, this is God the Father, so that proves the Mormons that God the Father was once a man, you know. And that, I mean, that there's all kind of things that happen. But no, this is a foreshadowing. God is infinite, but he's manifesting himself to Ezekiel. He's showing us something. He's giving Ezekiel a foreshadowing of this. And he said, I saw as the color of amber and the appearance of fire round about within, and from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the brightness of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now notice that's very important. He didn't say this was the appearance of the glory of the Lord. He said this is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Huh?
I was just saying about the scripture.
But think about this. Think about this. What did God tell Moses in Exodus chapter 33 when Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, no man can see my face and live, right? And he told Moses, he said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll hide you there in the cleft of rock, and I'll pass before you and proclaim the name of the Lord, and you'll see my hinder parts. Because you can't see my full glory. And once again, he's not seeing the full glory of the Lord. He's seeing the likeness of the glory of the Lord. There's the picture that we have to see. You know, we get there and we see things from such a perspective that we have a tendency to want to dumb things down to the point of trying to make sure we understand everything. And there's much we can understand. But I can guarantee you that Ezekiel did not see more than Moses saw. And Daniel did not see more than Moses saw of the Lord. And they did not see Isaiah and all these. They did not see, and the Apostle John, they did not see more than Moses saw in the sense of the glory of the Lord. We go through there and we see these things and we see these pictures and we see what happens in these things. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing that God is revealing something to Ezekiel. He's letting Ezekiel see something that nobody else has seen. Very few have seen other than people like Moses. And this is something that he's doing, and he's going to begin to tell him to prophesy to Israel. And he's calling Ezekiel in that way. We don't know a lot about Ezekiel's attitude. We don't know a lot about Ezekiel's heart before this. All we know about Ezekiel is that he's a priest. And he was there and he was with the captives. He's in Babylon. As you read later, he says he's by the river Kibar. And then later in chapter 3 or something like that, as I was reading on, he's in a place called near Tel Abib. Not Tel Aviv, Tel Abib. And Tel Abib is in, as far as all the people can tell, as far as history and everything like that, is in Iraq. So he's in Babylon. He's in what's modern day Iraq, but what was then in Babylon. He was in the land of the Chaldeans. He was in that place, what was called Chaldea, and those that were there. So he's in that particular area, and he's there. He's captive. This is during the 70 years captivity. Now I want to make some observation about this particular passage of Scripture. And we see him, what he's seeing. First of all, Ezekiel is getting a vision of the glory of the Lord. My assumption is that Ezekiel is seeking the glory of the Lord. You don't find many people in the Bible that get such a vision that aren't seeking it. Moses sought it. The Apostle John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Daniel had been fasting and praying over the sins of his people. And he wanted to understand the Scriptures. Isaiah was there, and he was a prophet, and King Uzziah, other than his foolishness near the end of his life where he became a leper, Uzziah was a pretty good king, pretty godly king, until he got a little bit proud and a little bit too big for his britches and wanted to burn incense and take over the priesthood. And so in that time, Isaiah is wondering what the next king's going to be like. He's kind of in a period of mourning. And the picture is there that he's seeking the Lord. And we see that picture of Isaiah there. And we see so many people there. And not everybody that sought the Lord has seen such a vision, but almost without fail in the Bible, everybody that we know of that has seen the Lord, they've been focused on seeing the glory of the Lord. They wanted to know something more of God. And that brings us to the point, what do you want to know of God? Are you content with what you know of God now? Or do you want more? Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of talk by a lot of people, myself included, about how the things that are happening in the world today, and it's almost like the people are being conditioned to accept government authority to the point to what you see in Revelation. I mean, they're talking about, I mean, you actually have people talking with this COVID thing about COVID passports and people not being able to travel unless you have this shot. I read an article there, this island in the Caribbean in St. Vincent where the volcano is going up. They are actually not allowing people to leave a place of danger unless on these rescue boats, unless they've been vaccinated. And you see this all over, these people, governments becoming high-handed and everything, and wanting everybody to find a way to force everybody to get something. And, you know, it seems like most people are just laying down and taking it. But the simple fact is, it's almost like the nation and the world is being conditioned to that type of thinking, that you have to have some proof of some thing required by the government in order to buy and sell. Now think about that. Or live. And of course we know during the tribulation what's going to happen. Those, if you don't have the mark of the beast, whatever that turns out to be, in your right hand or in your forehead, you won't be able to buy or sell, right? And that's one of the things that's going to be. There's going to be economic pressure put on people to yield and worship the beast and receive his mark. And so there's going to be the picture of that we see there, and we talk about that as a boy. This is almost sounding eerily like what's going to happen in the Bible in some cases. What some of these people are advocating, and seems like people are just accepting it. Now, Moses was interceding for the people. Isaiah was mourning the loss of a king. Daniel was mourning over the sins of his people. John was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of the Lord and testimony of Jesus Christ. Paul saw a vision at some point. We go through there and we see these people. And it came to, seems to be that these people had a desire to see the glory of God. And that desire, Ezekiel being among the captives by the river Kibar, seems to be that desire was fueled by understanding of the times that they lived in. You think about that. Desire understanding of the times we live in want us to understand and get a glory, a vision of the glory of God. So we see that picture. We see a picture, that foreshadowing of what we will come to see of Christ on his throne. And see that glory. That will we look forward to one day. And we see that picture there. We see in verse 28, as the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. Of course, we know that bow in the cloud, that rainbow, is something that God made to happen, and it's something that gives us an assurance that the world, that there'd never be a flood again, right? That God would never destroy the world in that way. That there would be, that until the coming of the Lord, until the final judgment, that there would be sun and moon and stars and seed time and harvest and summer and winter and all the seasons, all the things that went on, that would just continue on. He would never destroy the world, the entire world that way. And God's kept his word. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, we've got a lot of things, and the people are running around with their hair on fire thinking that the world's going to end. You know, like some people, if it's, you know, if anybody would go back and play what Mr. Gore said back, former Vice President Gore said back in the days when he was trying to, when he first started the global warming things, and by this time, based upon what all he said, the ice caps should have been melted. Both coastlines and all the European coastline and African and South American coastlines and everything would have been underwater, and whole cities lost, and all these things were going to happen. They didn't happen. They're still running around with their hair on fire because it's not about truth, it's about power. They're trying to find ways to get power and money. And he made millions. He made himself rich running around and talking about that type of stuff. I don't know if the man actually believed it or not, but he sure did find a way to get rich off of it. And they're still trying to do the same thing today. They're trying to do the exact same thing. The whole picture of all that, and they're still the same alarmist. And it's been about, I guess, about a year and a half, maybe, since the representative from New York was out there crying that the world was going to end in 12 years if we didn't do something now. And of course, they just throw that stuff out, and they just keep doing that. It never comes true. Why? Because God's Word is true. Amen. Because God's Word is true. And we see this appearance, and right there we get an appearance of some promise that God had made. It's like a bow that's in the cloud in the day of rain. So it's like that rainbow roundabout, that multicolored, multifaceted picture of that glory roundabout there. And you see that, and there it is, all around the throne. It's something that we would look at and see and say, hey, there's a picture of God's faithfulness. And then we look at the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And he said, when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. Now, Ezekiel, being somebody that wanted to see the glory of God, and he saw the likeness of the glory of God, he saw a picture of God's faithfulness. But you know what? There's something else that happened during that time. He was overwhelmed during that the glory of God. And you know what he heard? He heard the voice of the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, if there's anything that this world and this generation needs, it needs to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. But the only way that's going to happen is if God's people hear the voice of the Lord. You see, there's a whole bunch of chapters coming where Ezekiel is going to spend his time telling the children of Israel the words of the Lord. And he's going to rebuke them, and he's going to see their sins, and he's going to rebuke them for their sins, and he's going to hear the judgment of God upon them for their sins that they've committed before and in the captivity. And the things that were going on, there's a lot of things as you move on through there. But before we can effectively tell our generation about the voice of the Lord, we might want to hear the voice of the Lord first. Now, I want you to notice something. I understand. Ezekiel is hearing God speak to him audibly, or at least in his heart and in his mind, however God did it. He's hearing it. The others that are around him, they were scared and they ran off, as you read a little later. But he heard God speak. Now, he was a priest and he read the Scriptures. He was schooled in the Scriptures. And we ought to read the Scriptures, but we ought to get to the point where we want to hear God speak. Now, if you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God within you. And the Spirit itself beareth witness that with our spirit that we're the sons of God. So there's a witness from within. We have it within to hear the voice of the Lord. whole lot easier than Ezekiel did. But we see the picture there, and we see that. And he said, I heard a voice of one that spake. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God speaks today? When's the last time you heard Him speak? Something to think about, isn't it? We have a culture here today that we talk about the Bible, but where's the glory? Where's the fire that we talk about? Where's it at? I just wanted you to think about that today. I was reading this and looking at it. I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you know, there's something going on here that's necessary. It's a needful time. There's a reason people need to hear. But in order for them to hear, Ezekiel first had to hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close out. Father, thank you for this message. I just pray you'd work in our hearts. Father, I pray that each person here would desire to hear from heaven. Lord, I just pray that you'd work in our hearts and let us see the truth of your word. Let us get a glimpse of the glory of God. Let us see something that we haven't seen. Pray you'd open the Word of God to us anew. Help us to see, remember things we've already learned, and then continue to grow up and learn more, and see more of the glory of our God. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.